now, from the Center for Common Sense Counseling, here's Roland Trujillo.
Well, hello everybody, welcome to the program. My name is Roland Trujillo, and I bid you welcome. Well, let's start with some questions. How about the first question? I've got a question here, and it is, I'm a Christian, but there's one particular singer who supposedly sold her soul to the devil, and but I like her music. Is it wrong to listen to it? Well, let me talk about music in general. Okay, music in general. There are nicer music. There's music that's nicer, and then there's music that's not so nice. There's music that's pretty, and music that's not so pretty. There's classical music and modern music and country and western and so on and so forth. Well, you know something? I am going to talk about music in general. And I will say this. I will say that what music is, it's basically seductive. It's basically seductive. And for that reason, most people are not mature enough to listen to music without being seduced by it. You see, when you listen to music, it makes you feel good, it makes you feel wonderful, it serenades you, it's making a song just for you, telling you how wonderful you are and how nice you are and how good you are, or extolling your virtues and your greatness, or perhaps commiserating with you and feeling sorry for you and embracing you and loving you and supporting you and all that. You see how supportive it is, how comforting it is, how all-embracing it is. Well, you know, the problem is that we ought not to be looking to people, places, things, or substances or sounds to support us, to comfort us. We ought to be looking to our Creator. You ought not to need comfort from music, see? You ought not to need comfort from alcohol or from marijuana or comfort from heroin or from cocaine. Look at how each of those in its own way supports ego and various drugs, legal or illegal. What they do is they make you feel like okay, just the way you are. Even ones that take away pain. They take away the pain so you can feel okay. They take away the symptoms. Or they take away awareness of the symptoms so you're all numbed and walking around in a fog. See? But I say to you that we ought to be more aware rather than less aware. See? Anything that comforts you lowers your awareness. See, let's say, just a simple example. I'll use a simple example, and then you can see how it might apply to spiritual matters. Look, if you have a pain in your elbow, I'm just going to make something up. Pain in your elbow, see, I'm sure there's some kind of medication or medicine or some kind of drug that you can take that will make the pain go away. But the problem is, you take the drug, the pain goes away, or you become unaware of the pain, then you might continue to use your elbow as if there were nothing wrong with it and damage it. See, the pain has a purpose. It's trying to warn you. It's trying to warn you. It's trying to get your attention and say, hey, there's something wrong here. See, so you can rest it, take care of it, etc., etc. Change your lifestyle, change your behaviors, change something. You see what I mean? So likewise, mentally and physically, or mentally, emotionally, spiritually, pain is telling you that somehow you're not living quite right. See, you're being resentful, you're being hateful, you're being angry, you're being judgmental, you're being selfish. Somehow or other, see, you're missing the boat, you're not living the way your Creator had intended, and so the pain is trying to awaken you, so that's good.
Do you suffer from stress? Reacting to stress is natural for animals, But for us humans, stress usually makes us irritable, impatient, and upset. We find ourselves being mean to those we should be kind to, or we find ourselves suppressing emotions until they make us upset on the inside. Shouldn't we be able to live with others without being upset with each other? The answer is yes. Right now you are too reactive. That's your problem. The stress of others causes you to react with hostility or repression. Were you in your center, the stress of others would call forth patience and understanding. It would call forth the courage to speak honestly. It would call forth patience to deal with the foibles of your fellow human beings without becoming upset. The solution to all your stress-based problems is to learn how to remain in your center. The meditation exercise helps you find your center of dignity so you'll be less reactive and more patient. Download a free introduction to the meditation at commonsensecounseling.org.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. Now look, I'll give you another example. Let's suppose that you just were just mean to your wife or your husband, or you just hated your mom, or you just got angry at your child and screamed at your child. See, or someone came up to you that had an honest question and you gave him a phony answer. You withheld the truth from them. See, you were dishonest with them. See, I'm pointing out things that are wrong, obviously wrong. So then you begin to feel a little bit anxious, a little bit guilty. See, a lot of times anxiety is just guilt in its unrecognized form. See, if you have a very healthy conscience, if you're close to your conscience, if you're close to God, if you're close to awareness, then you'll feel guilty if you do something wrong. But when you start to get farther and farther and farther away from reality, see, then you just sort of feel an anxiety and you don't recognize it as conscience, see, or as guilt for having yelled at your child or hated your dad or resented your mom or been phony with somebody or gossiped about somebody. See what I mean? I'm just pointing out things that are obviously wrong. So you should be, look, if you yell at your child and you hate your mom and you're phony and dishonest with somebody, then you should feel bad about it. You shouldn't feel good about yourself. How about if you lie to somebody or cheat somebody? Should you feel good about yourself? Of course not. See? So if you have a little bit of anxiety or a little bit of guilt over it, well, that's your conscience. That's your closest link to God. See? In a way, it's like God has the conscience knocking on the door of your mind and saying, hey, you did something that wasn't so nice. But if you want to deny reality, deny conscience, see, then you want to escape from that guilt. So what do? Well, you put some music on. See? And the music is embracing. It loves you where you are. And it carries you away, see, into a dream world of wonderfulness. If nothing else, it's a distraction. See? So, now here's the thing. May I give you another example? See, now you're going to say, when I give you this example, you're going to say, oh, Roland, you're being too extreme. Well, it makes the case, it's easier for you to see the principle if I make it extreme. I don't want to make it too subtle. I'll let you, figure out the subtleties of it in your own life and see how these little comforts, these little fixes, keep you from awareness, keep you from coming back to God. See? I'll never forget Adrian Rogers said, human goodness is not goodness if it doesn't lead to God. So your little marijuana, your music, your drink, your pill, your magazine, see? No matter how nice the magazine it is, no matter how nice the music it is, see, if it leads you away from God, it leads you away from conscience and permits you to go on living improperly and feel okay about it, then it's not doing you a favor. See? So here's the extreme example. And I'm giving the extreme example so that you'll understand. Okay? Hitler. Let's say Hitler. Somebody that was obviously not a nice person. Say Hitler. Hitler just signed an order where he was going to have a whole bunch of people killed. A whole bunch of innocent, nice people killed. Hitler, let's say, okay? So Hitler does that, and then here comes Hitler's wife, and she says, "Oh, darling, you poor thing," and she gives him a massage and puts some nice music on for him and gives him a nice drink. See? Now, is she doing a nice thing? No, because she's permitting him to feel okay about himself when he's done something rotten. See? All right. Now, that's an extreme example. And I know that life has its subtleties, but the point is that we ought not to be... So now can you see how it depends on how you use something? So, let us say you have a person who is perfectly innocent, a little child, or perhaps a very nice lady or a very nice man, who did some things wrong in their life, but then they were sorry for what they did. They were sorry before conscience. They had a change of heart, a change of mind. They cried a little tear, not out in the world, but quietly, when they saw that they had been, they hated their dad, they resented their mom, they were mean to their child, they gossiped about people, whatever. They felt bad. They saw that, they felt bad about it, and then they were sorry, and then they felt better. They had reconciled with conscience. They had reconciled with conscience. They had reconciled with God. See? Well, now that person can then listen to a little bit of music, and it'll be fine. See? But a person who is as guilty as heck for hating her husband, for secretly judging her husband, see, for being impatient with her child, or for him for being impatient with his child, or not being there for his daughter, or whatever. See? That person, if he starts listening to music, he's going to misuse it. He's going to misuse it to support his ego, to support him the way he is. Now, how many of you ladies have known a man who used you? See? You could tell by his touch, by the way he touched you, that he was using you. You could sense it. See? So it's much nicer to be married to a noble man, a gracious man, a man who has a bond with his Creator within, a man who loves principle and looks to his Creator, see, for answers and for support. Then he can be a good husband and love you without needing you, without using you to support his wrong, because he's not wrong. See? All right, well, I'll be right back. This is Roland. Please listen to this message.
Hello, this is Roland. Highlights from selected Common Sense programs are available at our website, commonsensecounseling.org. Click on Streaming Audio and you'll find programs by topic in Real Player or Windows Media format. Plus, listen to my lecture on how to stop hurting those you love, and find links to all five of my blogs. It's all at commonsensecounseling.org.
If you'd like to communicate by mail, address your correspondence to Roland Trujillo, that's ROLANDTRUJILLO, Box 282, 1698 Market Street, Redding, California, 96001. That's Roland Trujillo, Box 282, 1698 Market Street, Redding, California, 96001. Please remember that Roland's program is listener-supported. Thank you.
Welcome. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed that little bit of music, and I'm not misusing it. I don't need the music so I can listen to it, and I won't use it or abuse it. Now, we were talking about music, and I think you got the idea. In other words, if you want to be an aware person, if you want to become centered, if you want to regain control over your life, see, a lot of people are angry or they're depressed because they have lost self-sovereignty. They're out of control. They react to things on the outside. They become upset, they become destabilized, become off balance, and they become wrong. We're not supposed to be reacting. We're supposed to be calm and composed and self-directed. But they lose self-sovereignty, and then it gets worse and worse. Before long, they're just like being pulled in all directions, and before long, they have, because of their defect, see, if you don't serve God, whatever that means, see, now some people claim to serve God, or claim to have found God, or claim to be saved or something, well, maybe they have been, maybe they haven't. Saying, let's suppose you find the real thing. Then you serve God. See? What did Christ say? Didn't he say you can't ride two horses at the same time? You cannot serve God and Mammon at the same time. You see, you'll either love the one and hate the other, or hate the one and love the other. Now, most people hate their conscience. They hate reality. They hate the truth. They hate somebody that looks at them and points something out with blunt honesty. They like people that are friendly and nice and so and supportive and reassuring. See, that's why we don't like conscience, because it makes us aware of our wrong. And until you're willing to repent, you won't like conscience, and you will look to some worldly friend. You will look to Mammon to support you. So you'll look to false friends. See, various organizations or various groups, or you'll look to your alcohol, your drugs, your food, your marijuana, your music, see, to support you. See how that works? All right. But should you become a friend of conscience again and have God's approval, see, then you become independent, no longer reactive to the world. Then you'll be able to go out in the world and see things as they are, and you'll feel innocent again, like when you were a little child. See? But now you'll be a big person and innocent, and a friend of God. What could be better than that? Nothing. So now can you see why you have to, if you want to come back to self-sovereignty again, you want to come back to being centered, you want to become calm and composed, you want to be able to no longer be a drug addict or a cigarette addict or a food addict or a music addict or a gambling addict or a pornography addict. All these supporting things, these temptation forms. You want to be free. Then you're going to have to refine your conscience. Instead of moving away from conscience, you're going to have to move toward it. Toward guilt, toward anxiety, move toward them, see, so that you can reconcile. See what I mean? It's like having your tooth pulled. You go to the dentist, you got a really bad tooth, it's making you sick. He pulls the tooth out. It hurts. When he pulls the tooth out, there's pain, but it's a good pain. Why? Because when it's over, you're going to be better. And that's the way conscience is. And that's even the way we... The way we make it worse is because we resent conscience and we run from it. If you allowed yourself to be closer to conscience, then it would repent you, and then it'd be all over. Then you could be happy again and joyous, because you'd be a friend of your conscience. See? Be right back. Hello. Some of you have been listening for a while and like where I'm coming from. You recognize the truth and are willing to admit you've made some mistakes. The next step is to make some positive changes in your life. A good place to start is with the meditation exercise. Most of us are too lost in our thinking. We plan, worry, and scheme. Then we act emotionally and usually make things worse. Instead of worrying and scheming, why not spend the time learning to be still and find the wisdom and a proper energy to move with? In other words, why not request our meditation exercise? It will help you get out of fixating on problems and negative thinking. To request a copy of the meditation exercise, write or email us, or just pay us a visit at consensecounseling.org. You'll be glad you did. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Talk to a Pastor. My name is Roland Trujillo, and I hope you've appreciated today's program. I really do. So you see, the answer, ladies and gentlemen, is to refind your center of dignity, to refind a rapport with the inner light from God, which you now know is conscience, but is really intuition. It's God's light by which you can wordlessly know things, and which will become a lamp unto your feet. Now you feel it as conscience, as 20/20 hindsight. Makes you feel bad because you see how you messed up, and then you resent it. See, you resent your conscience. That's a mistake. So the whole secret to life is to become a friend of God. Look, now we've all made mistakes. See, we're born as egos. We're born prideful. We're born subject to temptation. We're born subject to our parents and other leaders who themselves were subject to temptation and who themselves failed. See? And so we go out in the world and there's all these other egos. And so there's unfairness and injustice and cruelty and tease and so on and so forth. And there's not a lot of love. And then you become resentful. See? You fall away from your conscience and then you look to the world for it and you get it. But what happens? Then you become dependent on that support. That's how you become a drug addict or cigarette addict or alcoholic, pornography addict, gambling addict, gossip addict. See, anything that supports you. And now do you understand why you must refind conscience where I can help you? I can help you, as a matter of fact. I have a little meditation that actually is a little, it's like the little bit of tech support that you need. Maybe a lot of you would like to come back to conscience, but you don't know how. You'd like to come back to God, you don't know how. See? Sure, you go to church, you hear nice things. You read the Bible, you hear read nice things. But you don't quite know how to really make it happen. Well, see, you should get the meditation that I have. It's free. See, I've made it free. You can find the meditation at commonsensecounseling.org. www.commonsensecounseling. It's all one word, all strung together, commonsensecounseling.org. Don't all rush at once. And it'll teach you. It's a little bit of tech support. It basically teaches you how to become still. How to go in a room, close the door, sit in a chair, and become, stand back from your thoughts. See, now you're lost in the squirrel cage of thinking. Why? Because you reacted on the outside and fell. You went out in the world, you failed, you fell. But you retreat into thinking. And before long, every time you fail, you retreat into imagining, reliving the past, planning the future, planning, scheming, dreaming, daydreaming. See how that works? Now you need to learn. But now you've become captive, a prisoner, an addict of your thoughts. And then they torment you. See? So what you need to do is learn how to become free from them by standing back. So I can help you get the meditation. It'll help you. It'll help you find your conscience. Okay? All right. Little message. Please listen carefully. You have issues, mental health issues, emotional issues, family issues, relationship issues. And somehow you know deep down in your heart that there is a spiritual component to them. Somehow you know that psychology is nice, support groups are nice, theory is nice, but you'd like to talk to a pastor. Well, now you can. You can talk to me in a couple of different ways. First of all, we have for a set fee, you can talk to me for 15 minutes, half an hour, an hour. By Skype, by phone, or live chat. If you want more information about pastoral counseling, online, in the convenience of your home, you don't have to go anywhere, you don't have to drive anywhere, right from the convenience of your home or office, then go to mypastorchat.com. That's www.mypastorchat.com. I hope you enjoyed today's program. Very nice program. And yes, go to mypastorchat.com if you would please. Find out about the services that we have for you. And listen to this program again if you would like at the audio archives. Get the meditation. Learn to become free again from all of your addictions and your dependencies. My name is Roland. Until next time, bye-bye.
You have been listening to Roland Trujillo from the Center for Common Sense Counseling. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.commonsensecounseling.org. You'll find lots of free helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit. Once again, the web address is commonsensecounseling.org. If you'd like to communicate by mail, address your correspondence to Roland Trujillo. That's ROLANDTRUJILLO. 1698 Market Street, Box 282, Redding, California, 96001. That's 1698 Market Street, Box 282, Redding, California, 96001. Please remember that Roland's program is listener-supported. Thank you.